We'll be continuing our series on Kindle the Fire. The theme verse from Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, it says, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion as we continue our series to another thought from this particular series as to how the Lord will guide us. For that, let us ask the Lord for his teaching through the Holy Spirit of God and through His Word. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are grateful and thankful to You for Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came into this world to give His life for us so that we may have the gift of eternal life. I too want to personally give thanks to You for redeeming me, for delivering me from the clutches of darkness and the clutches of sin, in order to be able to give me the new life. Thank You, Lord, for kindling that fire within me. And each one of us who have that experience also, we praise You and thank You, Father, for that. And as we continue the meditation on Your Word, we ask You, Father, that we may have an undivided attention to the listening of the Word of God. Lord, we may be in different situations, different frames of mind, different circumstances we are going through right now. Lord, many things that are bothering us sometimes. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that You may bring our attention to You. Help us to focus our attention on Your Word. As Your Word says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, Father, we are here to seek You. Lord, speak to us. Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As part of this Kindle the Fire series, we already meditated on two of the aspects, starting with salvation as a burning torch. Who is the one who will kindle the fire, which is the Spirit of God who kindles our spirits? Because the Bible says the spirit of man is like a candle. And it's God who lights that candle. And that is called salvation, in order to be able to give us new life and to give us the necessary burning that is essential for us. Not only should we be burning, but also we should be a shining lamp like John the Baptist was. And those are the two things that we have meditated on in the past. As we continue, let us read another scriptural portion, this time taken from Malachi chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. You wonder where Malachi is? Go to Matthew, the first book of New Testament, and just flip a few pages to the left, and you will see Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Let us read all together as it is projected here. You can follow with me as well, or if you want to follow your version or your language, please feel free to do so. Let's read it together, please. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and the purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. What a wonderful verse that is. The Word of God is so wonderful to be able to say that God, for that matter, to be more precise in this particular portion, talking about the one who is none other than Jesus Christ. He says, for He is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Some of the translations use the word fuller. Some of the other translations uses the word launderer. So God's word is telling that He is the one who is like a refiner's fire. You might see a picture right on the right top, how the refining or the refiner's fire looks like. He will sit as a refiner and the purifier of silver. If you read this portion altogether, it is wonderful for us to recognize that in verse 3 also, He says, He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The word refine, if at all we want to understand this particular word, probably you know songs related to it. But what is this refine? Refiner's fire. Refine. What does refine mean? We know the word fine. How are you doing? Fine. What is this? Refine? And some people who are more concentrating on house payments and all that, the only thing they know is refinance. Not refine, but refinance. Why? Because we are unable to recognize that there is something about refining. God wants to refine us. To make it fine again. How is it? Yeah, is it fine? Is it fine? People say, yeah. It is not yet fine. Let me refine it. There is a dictionary meaning for this word refine. Probably you know it, but let me just re-emphasize it. Remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance. That's called refining. There's another definition to the word refine, and that is improve something by making small changes. Removing impurities or unwanted elements from a substance, or making improvements by making small changes. When you are brought forth some document, when you take your document to your manager and he looks at it, he reviews it and says, can you refine it a little bit? I think you need to fix something. So the point that this particular word is saying is to make improvements through small changes. That is also refining. But when it comes to metallic substances, the word refine has a much deeper value. I was watching a video and it talks about something related to refining. It's a very short video. I just want you to watch this video as it is projected here. Let us look at that. Well, this is a very short one, less than a minute video. I didn't want it to be too long. I was thinking maybe the video or the audio might be there or might not be there, but I'm glad the audio was heard in between. Actually, if you watch this with audio, it will tell you it's not a very quiet moment when you are in a situation like this. It is too loud. It's noisy. It is very noisy. And also, it is filled with heat. It is filled with fire. This is what a refiner does. He's holding something and this is a small kiln, it's called, like a small furnace. Okay? In that furnace, what they do is they take these particles. By the way, did you know that metal has come from soil? Did you know that? It has come from soil. It has come from rocky substances. And that particular metal is produced after you take those rocky substances, break them into pieces, put them in a crucible. You know what a crucible is? Crucible is like a refining pot, it's called, where you put it in it and you put that crucible in the furnace. When you put that crucible in the furnace, that metal material inside is refined in such a manner that you will see certain impurities being taken away. They are on the top. It's also called dross. I'm not trying to teach metallurgy here. But dross, I don't know if you have learnt it in your science courses. Dross means some impurities that are on the top. And they are removed. And when they are removed, the pure substance is on the bottom. And it is very hot. It is melting. And what does the refiner do? He takes it, puts it on a side, and then pours it into blocks. You know, that's how you get this gold biscuits and all. People say that. How did you get that? There is so much that goes into refining.
Especially here in Malachi chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3, he talks about two precious metals. Very important metals. Gold, silver. Everyone knows that they are very precious metals. But these metals are formed because of purification or because of refining that has caused the gold or the silver to be obtained. Don't know if you have heard of the word sterling silver. Have you heard of sterling silver? Probably many of the women might know, even the men also might know. Sterling silver. A number is 92.5. What is that 92.5? It is 92.5 pure silver. There are some other metals that are added to it to be able to get the necessary strength, because pure silver is very malleable in terms of moving, etc. They can make thin wires also with it. Even for that matter, gold. Gold also has some ratings. It's called in carats. 24 carat is pure gold. 99.999. I don't know how many nines are there. But it is purest gold. 24 carat. But some people, especially people from India and Pakistan and other places, they prefer 22 carat gold. Here in United States, they prefer 18 carat gold. Why? They want to see the purity in that. Some people see that their whatever is a metal, gold or silver, they have a stamp on the back to be able to say that it is this much pure. And some people keep on checking if it is real gold or, there's another word to it, it's called rolled gold. Whether it is real gold or not real gold. So there is something about these metals, gold and silver, that God is comparing himself as a refiner's fire, and he is saying that you and I are like the gold or silver. Let us look at some of the scriptural portions from Psalm chapter 66. Psalm chapter 66 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 66 and verse 10. What does it say? It says, "You have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined, is tried." It says, some of the translations, it uses the word tried. Trying or refining, the same word that is used. And God is saying that he is the one who is proving us, or he is the one who is trying us or testing us for that matter. "You have refined us as silver is refined." It seems a silver is refined 7 times. One time you take it out, put it back again, refine it, third time. Fourth time, fifth time, how many times? 7 times to get the most purity that you could get. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3. It says, "The refining pot is for silver." Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3. Refining pot, or in other words, crucible. You see that crucible? Let's play that video once again. Let us see how it looks. Let's try to play that. That is the crucible that they are holding, okay? On the right side. It's too hot. And inside is the precious metal. See the fire that has caused the purity that was essential in this aspect. The crucible is also hot enough. Through the crucible, the inside precious metals are getting purified. The first thing that we can learn in this particular aspect that refining is, the three things that we are going to learn today. And the first thing is that it is, shall we go to the next one? It is talking about verification. Refiner's fire. God is saying that I am a refiner. I am the one who is going to do a verification. I will let things to be verified when I put you into fire. Verification. What is this verification? When a product is produced, especially those of us who are in the IT field, you know better. There is a development that happens. Do you directly put it into production? No. What do you do in between? You do testing. Some people are pretty good in it. They go through a lot of classes also, testing courses, all various load balancing, so much of testing, load testing and performance testing, functional testing. Why? You do anomaly testing, making sure that there is nothing wrong when I put it into production. I want to ensure that it is well tested. Forget about IT, any field for that matter. You manufacture a car, it goes through testing. Otherwise, you become the tester when you drive on the road. You don't want to be that. You want to ensure that it is well tested enough. God wants for you to go through testing. What is this verification process? The verification process is the testing of faith. God lets us go through testing. He wants to let us be verified. Have you really accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you have the faith that you're talking about, which when tested is going to come out proper or not? So testing of our faith. The testing of our faith, a very essential element in our understanding here. There was a man in the Bible. His name was Job. And you know what happened with him? God really didn't want to directly test him. He knew about Job in Job chapter 1. God himself gives a great testimony about him. But there was Satan who wanted to really ensure that this man, Job, was really a man of faith or not. And you know the story. I don't want us to go through so much. But here he says in verse 10, Job chapter 1 and verse 10, "Have you not made a hedge about him?" Satan is saying this. "And his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possession have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you on your face." You need to see that? He was saying that Satan was saying, "Oh God, you have been protecting this man, Job. When he is well blessed, he will praise you. The moment to try to show forth some kind of suffering in his life, let us see what he will do." A lot of people under stress or pressure, their character is proven. The words that come out of their mouth, the actions and reactions that they come out with when they are under pressure, when everything is going honky-dory, everything is going well, I think everyone will say, "Ha, everything is good." Here, that is what Satan is saying. "Oh, you have blessed the work of his hands, his possessions. You put a hedge around him and his house. Oh, what a wonderful protection that is." Try to do something. You will see that Job will curse you, is what Satan was challenging. In between Satan and God, Job was a tester, or the one who was being tested. And you know what happened. How he lost everything, but one thing is for sure. He said in verse 21, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He didn't curse, he blessed. What a wonderful example he is. Job, a man of suffering. From a human being's perspective, there is no one whom you can compare with other than Jesus Christ, who is God-man. That Job was a man of full of suffering. Be it his own family members, be it his property, be it his health, they're all affected. How many times do we go through so much of suffering in our lives that we sometimes blame God or blame people for doing this in our lives? But here he says in verse 22, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." Instead, you know what he said? Job 23 and verse 10. Please read Job 23 and verse 10. Wow. This is the great testimony of Job, my dear. Job 23 and verse 10. "He knows the way I take, the way the things that I'm going through in my life. He knows. He knows what I'm talking. He knows how I'm reacting. In our houses, when we go through tough times in our lives, when we are unable to make decisions, husband and wife, what do you do? Do you keep shouting at each other? Do you go through so much of uneasiness, lack of peace? That is where, when we go through tough times in our lives, when we have to, you know, when the children are not doing well, easy for a husband to blame wife or a wife to blame husband. What are we doing? How are we reacting during pressure time? When we do not have a job, what is our reaction? When we go through sickness in our lives, what is our reaction? Here in verse 23, chapter 23 and verse 10, he says, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew that God is trying me. God is making me go through tough times in my life. He is testing my faith. When I'm going through this testing of my faith, I know that I will come out as gold. Do you have that? Or is all the impurities seen in you when you go, when you're tried? All the impurities seen in us so much that people think, who? What is this person? I thought he is a believer in Christ. When he's going through so much of fiery situations, that is where his nature is seen out. Let us be cautious, my dear. Refiner's fire is given to us in order to be able to verify whether we have the real faith that God is expecting us to have or not. The testing of our faith produces endurance or patience, it says in James chapter 1. He says very clearly that the testing of our faith, God allows us to go through testing, my dear. Testing of our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 7, please read. What is this talking about? The proof of your faith, or the trial of your faith, or the testing of your faith, irrespective of which language, which version you use, you might find one of those words. The proof of your faith. Can your faith be proved? I'm asking you this question. Can your faith be proved? You might be telling that I have faith. Go through a fiery situation. Your faith will be known. You don't need to tell. People can see how much faith you have. Whether your faith is the faith that is well tested enough. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. Does it result in praise and glory and honor? Or does it result in cursing and blaming and shouting? What does it result in? A lot of people. That is what happens. It seems a man of God went to visit a home. When he visited the home, he tried to knock at the door. The moment he wanted to knock at the door, he heard some shoutings. Heavy, heavy shoutings. Husband and wife yelling at each other. He did not know what to do. He did not know whether he has to knock the door or not, but he had to share something very important to that household members. So he waited. He didn't know what to do. He finally knocked at the door. The moment he knocked at the door, rang the bell, you know what happened? Complete silence. Complete silence. It took a few seconds. Then they opened the door and say, "Hello, brother. How are you? Please come. Honey, brother has come. Please provide something." See, what a terrific situation it is for the sake of others who are coming. Instead, where is the testimony inside your home, my dear? Where is the testimony? Are your children able to see that you are a man of faith? You are a woman of faith? Or are all they see is shouting? Or shouting from parents to children? No love? There is discipline that is needed. But do you show the necessary love and discipline? Be watchful, my dear. God is letting us go through refiner's fire. When we go through tough situations, before even you react to that situation, before you open your mouth, just ponder over what we are hearing from the Word of God. The proof of your faith should result in praise, glory, and honor. What a terrific situation that would be if your life at home is revealed outside. How will it be? Can you be a good testimony in front of others? My dear, I'm asking you. Whether it is in your workplace, shouting at each other, or trying to do backbiting at each other. What is that we are doing? Let us be cautious in the way we live our lives. The Bible is very clear in being able to lead us in the right direction. We go through sufferings in our lives. Who is not going through suffering? You tell me. Everyone in different situations. I'm not trying to compare your suffering with somebody else's suffering, but each one is going through different sets of sufferings in their lives. Family problems, physical problems, mental problems, job problems, immigration problems, go through so many problems, but how do you face those problems is a question that you should and I should really respond to. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Please read. Whoa, this is what the word of God is saying. Behold, I have refined you, but not as much as silver. Imagine if it was like silver. God is saying, I have been refining you, but not as worse as silver. Silver goes through 7 times of thing. So much of heating, overheating, high temperatures and all that. But God is saying, I am refining you. I want you to be refined. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Furnace of affliction. God lets us go through afflictions in our lives for a purpose. And when we go through that, what is our reaction? You know a very well-known story. I don't need to repeat that. But if you do not know it, you can go back to your homes and read it from Book of Daniel, chapter 3. Three good friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were so strong in the Lord that they had very good foundation that when they were taken into a different land, they stood for the faith that they had. My dear brother and sister, father and mother, the foundation that you give to your children will have its impact as they grow up. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The kind of friendship that they make, the kind of foundation of faith that they have been seeing in the family will result in the way in which they live when they go out of their land. The parents will be very, very strong enough to recognize that my child is a child of God more than my own child. God will take care of the situation that they are going through. Such is the kind of testimony that the parents should have about their children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young men, when they have gone into a different land, they were told to worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And you know that story. And they were told that if you do not fall down and worship, they will be thrown into the furnace of the blazing fire in verse 11. Daniel 3 verse 11. They were told that. It's a very well-known story. I don't need to repeat it again and again. But a few thoughts that I want to share with you. And you know what they said? We will not worship even if we are thrown into the midst of the fiery furnace. We will not worship this golden image. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth character. And he said, I see somebody there. Bring them out. When they were brought forth, their clothes, not even their hair, was burnt. God was there when they were going through the fiery situation. The presence of God was there. When we go through afflictions, my dear, God's presence is much nearer. He is there. And I'm sure when you look at this story from the angle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I wonder what would be the story from their side if you had interviewed them and spoke to them. Hey, what happened? How was your experience there when you said that we will not worship this golden image? When you were thrown into the fiery furnace, they would have said, all that we have learned in our childhood, in our Sunday schools, on Sunday services, in our personal meditation, quiet times, all that is coming into practice now. We are getting into the fiery furnace, but God is going to be with us. He promised us that he will be with us when we go through fiery situations. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Let us all read this together. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. What does it say? Let's all read this together. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. What a wonderful promise of God it is. God is saying this. And maybe they knew that God is a God who will protect them. Maybe they must have heard about that story of Job. Maybe they must have heard of so many situations that have happened in the past that with faith they went into the fire. And they came out not burned, not consumed. But their faith must have gotten much stronger than before. Oh, all this theory that we have been learning is one thing. But now that we have come out of the fire, we have become much purer. We have become much stronger in our faith. And such is the kind that God is expecting us to have. 1 Peter chapter 1, once again, let us look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1. portion that we read. A few verses I wanted us to read before and after as well. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." What does it say? You greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, or for a season, it says in some translations, if necessary. See how Word of God is saying. When He lets us go through various trials in our lives, He's saying, if necessary. He knows when it is necessary for us to go through fire, my dear. Maybe you are going through some fire situation right now. Maybe something that is bothering in your life. Why is this fire? Why is God refining me through this situation? What is God intending to get out of me? When He has tried me, I will come out as gold. Can you say that? Let us say that. All this while we were wondering and worrying as to why we are going through so much of trials in our lives. The Word of God says, if necessary, for a little while, now, I'm going backwards. You have been distressed by various trials. What should you do? Verse 6. You greatly rejoice. It is a time of joyful sorrows. Sorrow is happening, but how are you reacting to it? Oh, trying to go through so much of a situation that you need sympathy from people also, so that they too can go through with you. Yes, sometimes we go through that way, but instead, when somebody comes to you and says, "Oh, brother, oh, sister, you're going through so much of such tough times in your life," and you respond saying, "I take it as a joy from the Lord. I go through these sufferings in my life. I joyfully accept it. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you respond to such situations, people say, "Wow, what is this? I came to be able to try to comfort this person. Instead, he's comforting me back." My dad, when he was in the hospital here in Frederick Memorial Hospital, a lot of people came to visit him when he was going through so much of tough times. And many people came back and told me that, "Oh, brother, we came to pray for him. We came to try to comfort him. Instead, he shared. He tried to encourage us." And they came out that way. You and I should be such kind of people who can encourage others when you are going through difficulties also. Not only when others are going through difficulties. "I rejoice even though now for a little while." I don't know how long you are going to go through this suffering, my dear. You might say, "How long, Lord? How long?" The Bible says, "For a little while," in my translation. In your translation, what does it say? "For a season." Koncham kala. He's not saying long, lifelong. For a short time. I do not know how long. I'm not the one who can answer that. But let me tell you. When you go through these sufferings, are you rejoicing in your sufferings? Then in verse 7 says, "So that the proof of your faith being more precious." And then he says in verse 8, "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Do you have that? When you go through trials in your life, this is what you and I should go through. The second thing that we should understand is the refiner's fire is not only to verify our faith, but also to sanctify. Verification? Sanctification. What is the sanctification? The sanctification is the removal of impurities. The removal of impurities. Purification process. The refining process is a purification process. When we go through tough times in our lives, let me tell you, God is trying to remove the impurities from our life. The impurities, the dross, the unwanted things that God doesn't want us to have. He wants to remove all that from us. Isaiah chapter 1. Let us look at it. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 22 and 25. Isaiah 1, 22 and 25. It says, "Your silver has become dross, and your drink diluted with water." Verse 25. "I will also turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and remove all your alloy." God is saying that your silver has become dross, Impurities have caused something that is that it has to go through a refining process for you to be purged, to be purified, to be refined. God wants to do that in your life, my dear. Are you ready to be able to let go? Sometimes, even though we are full of faith, our faith is tested. And sometimes, when we are weak of faith, where our carnality has come in, all the fleshly things that have come and occupied and taken away our thought process and decision-making process, oh, those people are doing, those worldly people are doing, why shouldn't I do it? That is carnality. Oh, they are getting jobs, better jobs than I. Those are the kind of things we compare with. And the moment we get all of that, God's word is saying, I'm going to refine you to remove all those dross, impurities from you. I'm going to let you become pure. Purifying process. He wants to purify your heart. He wants to purify your heart so much so that all impurities may be removed and gone. That is called sanctification. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to sanctify us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 says, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God we have. When we go through all the situations in our lives, he's sanctifying us. Maybe there are certain things God wants to purify in us. If somebody tells you that, you won't like it. Huh? As if I have done something wrong? That is why God is letting me go through this fire? It's not about other telling, because it might offend people. But the point is, we need to examine ourselves if there is anything God is teaching me through this fiery situation in my life. Is there something that I should learn that God is teaching me towards sanctification? Sanctification means cleansing, removing the impurities. And that is how he wants to let us go from 18 carat to 20 carat to 22 carat to 24 carat. Oh, purity! He wants to take us out there. Do you want to be such kind? Can you tell with Job, after he has tried me, I will come out as gold? Let us learn these important lessons. And finally, that we should learn is not only the verification, sanctification, but also glorification. What is this glorification? Why glorification? I want to share with you a small story that has happened. There was a group of women in a Bible study, maybe appropriate for women's ministry. But let me share you with this particular story. There was a group of women in a Bible study on the book of Malachi. They are studying book of Malachi. As they were studying chapter 3, which we have just read, they came across verse 3, which says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant about the character and nature of God. Listen to this carefully. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. Homework. You see that? You go back and next time when we meet, let us study about it. That week, the woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, so as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse. He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. Look at your Bible. Malachi chapter 3. Let's open it. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 3. What does it say there? He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So, she thought again about the verse that he sits at a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith, If it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined, the man answered that, yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time that it was in the fire. He had to look at it all the time. While it's not that he goes and sits somewhere and does his job and comes back. He holds that silver in the fire, in the hottest place, and his eyes are on the silver the entire time that it was in the fire. For if the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. This is a reality. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's the easy part. When I see my image reflected in it. When I see my image reflected in it, that is when I know that it is fully refined. My dear, if today you are feeling the heat of fire, remember that God has his eye on you and will keep his hand on you and watch over you until he sees his image in you. He wants to see his image in you. That is why he's refining you. He's trying to make you pure. It is very important for us to recognize. This particular story was verified by another woman, by verifying with another silversmith, and the same thing that silversmith also told. So this is not a fable or a story, but it is a reality that when we go through this aspect of refining, there will be a reflection. God wants to provide a reflection that you and I should be transformed into the image of God. Lamentations chapter 4. Where is Lamentations? You may wonder where it is after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Please read Lamentations 4, 1 and 2. How dark the gold has become. In other words, how dull. You know, if you have gold and if it is so dull, how will you feel? So that's what the word of God is saying. How dark the gold has become. Yes. How the pure gold has changed. Wow, what a terrible situation it is. Now, not only the daughters of Zion story that I just mentioned, sons of Zion, I don't know, God willing, we all men also should be able to gather together in this manner to be able to recognize that God is saying you are precious sons of Zion. How dark the gold has become, my dear son of Zion. What is our life? Is our life reflecting the glory of God or dull? There's no shining at all. The pure gold is no longer shining. How dark the gold has become. How the pure gold has changed. It was weighed against fine gold earlier, the precious sons of gold, sons of Zion. But now they became like dross. The impurities are seen more. What is our life? What is our condition? God wants us to be able to be better than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You see here, he's talking about an unveiled face. When people look at you, would you be like a mirror shining forth? You know, there's a song which says, shine, Jesus, shine. May our mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Mirror, like a mirror. Reflection has to be seen. Reflection of who? Not reflection of our own wonderful things that we have done. Reflection of our family or lineage or background or denomination. No. It is a reflection of Christ Jesus that has to be displayed here. Beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Glorification. God wants to cause you into glorification to be able to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. He wants to transform us and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful experience that would be. He wants to transform us. When you go through fiery situation, that melted gold or melted silver, I do not know how he's going to make out of it. He might transform you into a plate that can be used by people. It can be transformed into a steel spoon or a silver spoon. You know, silver, for children, they want to feed with silver spoon. Why? It is talking about purity. Maybe God wants to create you as a silver spoon or a gold plate. I do not know how he wants to create you as a vessel of honor for you. But for you to become that silver spoon or a gold plate, you need to go through refiner's fire. We need to go through refiner's fire. The Bible says every Christian must go through suffering in their lives in order to be able to let their faith be proven. Maybe right now something is going on in your life. Maybe something that is bothering in your life. But I'm asking you, my dear brother and sister, what is your reaction to these things? Why me? Why me? Why not others? Others are better than me. Lot of times we do comparison with others. But God has created you unique. He is still working on you to make you what you ought to be. To become the gold that you need to become. The pure gold. Fine silver. Won't you want to become like that? The Bible says, back to Malachi chapter 3. Wonderful book. Even though it's a small book, many truths that we can learn. Maybe a Bible study on that. Let's see how it works out. Malachi chapter 3. In that it says, verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi or priests and refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. You are here to present to the Lord, not only receive from the Lord, but you have to present to the Lord. God is expecting you to be purified. And you, when with purity in heart, you should worship him. With purity in heart, you should offer unto him the offerings that we do. Whether it is treasures or your worship or your time or whatever that is. Unless we are purified, God is not going to accept our offerings. God is saying, I want you to present to me the offerings in righteousness. And then he says in verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not destroyed or consumed. This is not a consuming fire, but it is a refiner's fire. There is a consuming fire. We can meditate upon it. But this is a refiner's fire where you will not be consumed. You will not be burnt away because refiner's fire is for believers. Refiner's fire is for believers. God is letting us to come out as pure gold. Not to destroy you. He wants to destroy all the impurities from you, but wants to take the best out of you. Don't you want to become that? When you go through sufferings, that means God is bringing the best in you. What a wonderful experience that would be. May the Lord enable us to take the fiery situations that we are going through in our lives as a form of verification, as a form of sanctification, as a form of glorification, fications. Easy to remember, three fications. Verification, sanctification, and glorification. May the Lord bless this word.